There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Some people call this Thursday. A lot to do on today's show. And I will say, before we get to our first guest... throughout the show today, we'll get to this in a little bit, but in realpolitik, in world news here, I'm just looking through some stories as they're breaking. I guess we're now ramping back up with the discussion of China trying to take Taiwan and what it means to the United States, troops being deployed there. At the same time, France is rattling their sabers in relation to Ukraine, and Russians have now responded on that. We talked about this last week or the week before with Macron saying that, French troops could be in Ukraine. You know, France, know your place. You know, maybe we should do it. I guess I've watched too many medieval movies lately, and those kind of. Maybe we should make it where world leaders have to lead the charge. Remember the old days, the king would be at the first vanguard going into the battle. Maybe if Macron had to lead the troops into Ukraine, that would. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. I mean, at least Napoleon had to freeze alongside his troops in Russia. So we'll talk about that. Also, what's going on in Montgomery? Parker Snyder, 1819 News, joins us later on in the show. Plus Dale Leash from Lanyap. Lots going on in the Mobile City Council. We'll talk about that as well. And good to get this man in studio. I think last time I had him on the show, he was traveling from polling place to polling place. I was blowing up his phone, myself and probably everybody else in the media. Probate Judge Don Davis, head of elections for Mobile County. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good afternoon now.
Yeah, it's good afternoon by just 8 minutes. So yeah. Here we are in between the primary and the runoff, looking at the general, a busy year for elections in Mobile County around the country. But that brings up a lot of questions here, too, that I get on the show, and it's good to have you on here to talk about them.
Thank you.
And I won't even get into the – I do want to – if we need to do a PSA to get turnout up – You hear me lament every year. I'm like, people, y'all go vote. Turnout was, 18, 19%?
It was right at overall Mobile County, 20.5%.
20.5. The rest of y'all are on my list.
Now, mind you, some precincts have very better than that.
Right.
The 20.5% is an average.
Well, that means some people are really not getting it done.
Very low turnout.
Not getting it done. But that's one issue. That's one issue that is not the job of the judge of probate. You can't make people go to the polls, but once they do, it is your job. And look at this. Look at a PDF you had sent me. Mobile County Ensuring Election Integrity document here. You said four components to election security, because this is something, Judge, that comes up on the show all the time. If I talk about election, they'll say, well, that's what they want you to think. This is rigged. This is that. And you've broken this down in quite a document here. Number one, election machine integrity and security, ballot integrity and security, voter integrity, and election official poll workers integrity. First one I got to go to, because it is one that drives a lot of conversation, the election machine integrity. This idea that the people are hacking into the election machines.
Well, in Alabama and in Mobile County, our ballot counters are not connected to the internet, and so there's no connectivity whatsoever. No one can manipulate it from away or far.
Okay? Now, okay, then, and I've said that before, and people go, what you don't understand is then those machines go in somewhere and get hooked up after they get hooked up to the internet, and that's how this is done.
No, that's not correct at all. And let me say, before I forget, in Mobile County, I operate as the judge of probate and chief election officer. One of my just general premises is concepts borrowed from President Reagan, trust but verify.
Okay.
And we do that. And other probate judges in other counties do that as well in a variety of different ways. But specifically as to the internet issue, connectivity issue, in 2022, I personally, along with members of my staff, went out to Mobile County's voting machine warehouse. We physically opened up all 200 ballot counters, and I physically looked at all of them and made certain there were no modems in it.
Okay, because that's what I've been told, too. Yeah, Sean, you don't realize
there's trust, but verify.
So y'all took the lid off it and looked.
Yes, I took the thing up. ES&S didn't like us doing that. That's the company that made it, but I said, I'm doing it.
Right. So you can sit here and tell me.
They belong to Mobile County,
right.
And I can do it. I'm not going to mess with anything inside, but I want to make certain, I want to verify that there are no modems in these machines, and I did so.
So you have, as you said, you have looked inside these things.
Yes.
Pulled the cover off, and there's no modem.
No modems whatsoever.
It's, because I haven't ever looked under the hood of one. Judge, that people say, well, you don't understand, there's this modem in there, but you've looked in there,
there's no modem in there. They're not connected at any point in time. They don't have the ability to be connected to the internet.
So that is not I don't hear any equivocation in your voice there.
No, there's not any whatsoever.
There's no connection. All right. Then when those machines are used, just give me like the layman's version. Those machines are used, how do you count the votes that went in that machine then?
Okay, it's a two-step process. And remember, another hallmark in the United States in general, certainly in Alabama and certainly in Mobile County, is we citizens conduct our elections, mm-hmm. not government officials like you see in most countries.
Right.
Even over in Western Europe, government employees are counting and running their elections. We don't do that in America.
Right.
Citizens conduct our elections. So specifically in Alabama and in Mobile County, it's a two-step system. The poll workers, the citizens that are serving as poll workers in their precinct where they live,
mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are generating the results initially off the ballot counters. They're on the site of the poll. And then there is a thumb drive that is in those ballot counters. Those thumb drives are removed, and a set of the tapes generated at the poll by the citizens are blue-lighted by the sheriff's department down to the courthouse.
Okay.
Then we have a special computer not connected to the internet or anything, never has been connected to the internet.
Okay.
It is a virgin computer,
okay.
If you want to say.
Okay.
It has a special program where it can read the data on those flash drives is encrypted.
Okay.
You just can't stick it in the machine.
So if somebody got hold of one, because somebody would say, even though it's blue-lighted, somebody gets the thumb drive, changes the information, then it gets to you.
It's not possible.
Okay.
In any event, they're read at the courthouse electronically, and then my staff, they're in front of the media. And citizens that come and party officials, they physically read the tape that's been generated, the paper tape at the poll, and compare it to the numbers that are electronically reported to ensure they match. And they've always matched. There's never been a difference.
Okay.
And then, only then, will we then post them on our website. Now, the other thing, to touch on a comment or a question you raised kind of a moment ago, everything is documented. There is a chain of custody from A to B to C to D to Z on these flash drives and everything related to our election process, for that matter. The deputies, the inspectors of the poll, they all sign off. We got written receipts for, I'm giving you this flash drive.
Right.
I'm giving you these tapes. The deputies bringing them down. They're being checked in at the courthouse. We know who does what.
So
everything is accounted for.
Yeah, so there's no idea that there could be somebody in between those two, because when I hand off the baton to you, Judge Davis, I sign off that Sean signed off that he handed to Judge Davis,
right.
And you're like, yes,
receipt,
over to you.
And I'm getting a receipt.
And then it goes to the next. Okay, so that's the chain of custody, and I like the fact that there's a printed that comes from the actual polling place to compare to what the data is when you get down to election headquarters.
Right.
All right. Then, so at no point, that machine, like you said, the Virgin machine, let alone the 10X, are they called?
Those are the registration databases. Mobile County's voter database is now on a on an iPad, special iPad, has a special program on it.
That is not online.
Right. Not online at all.
Okay.
Not online. It's downloaded by us at probate court in a secure manner immediately before the election. And again, there's a chain of custody. They're not connected to the internet. Can't be connected to the internet.
You have a line item here, ballot integrity.
Right.
That is that process we just talked about, right?
In part. I mean, so ballot integrity, security. We know the court staff in Mobile County, we program our ballot. We outline the parameters for what our ballot needs to look like
right.
on election
and
day.
Then we get the sample ballot, I know, ahead of time.
And then we transmit that data to ES&S, who is the statewide provider of election equipment and ballots in the state of Alabama. They have
they print the thing we always fill out?
They print them in Birmingham.
Okay.
They're headquartered. They got an office in Birmingham. And then they prepare the flash drives and the ballot styles, the ballots. And, you know, we have typically 100, 150 ballot styles because we are a large county. We've mm-hmm. 80, we have 80 polls. We have a lot of districts.
Yeah, you have whatnot. Democrat, Republican, and
But you can also have a district running in the middle of a precinct, which creates.
Yeah, I've noticed.
So in any event, they draft that. Then they send it back to us, and we proof the draft. And we make certain that my IT department also proofs the was proposed for the flash drives. We make certain everything is checked. Again, trust but verify.
Okay.
Then when we give the final approval, then they will finalize their work, ES&S will, and transmit it to us. The ballots come in pads of 50, and they're stapled, like I brought
an
example.
Yeah, I see some here, yeah.
And they're numbered on the bottom end here. You see, they're numbered.
Uh-huh.
We know exactly what ballots go to each poll in Mobile County. We keep up with all that.
Okay, I'm looking at what the judge has. It's like check numbers, right? I mean, it's the number of that ballot and it's different from the next one, the next one, the next one.
Right, all the way through, and they're coming past a 50. Now, when you tear the ballot off, it's a perforation here, then you don't know who got what ballot.
Right.
But they got... From that pad.
Number 150 or whatever the number.
And these are alternate. We account for all these. We keep these pads, the unused pads.
Okay, just like your check stubs almost in a way.
Right, exactly. Well, at the end of the night, the poll workers.
Now I'm getting how this works. Okay.
So since we know what goes to the poll at the beginning, we fill out the beginning of the day information. They have to fill out the end of the day information.
So y'all got X number of ballots.
Right.
End of the after 7 o'clock.
Right. And give us the ballot number. Whatever the last ballot is, you give us that ballot number. It fits in right there. Now, throughout the day, you may have a voter that makes an error or changes their mind and they want to get a fresh ballot. We call that the spoil ballot procedure. They can get a fresh ballot, but we account for all the spoil ballots, too. We know every
because
ballot.
Because that 105 was a spoil ballot. Here it is.
But so we total it up, and so at the end of the night, we have a total for all the ballots. Paper ballots, they're all accounted for. Now, secondly, on this ballot accounting certificate, we've got our ballot counters. Every poll has at least two ballot counters. Some of the larger polls in Mobile County will have three or possibly four ballot counters. They have a counter on there, and they tell you how many ballots they counted throughout the day, the total ballots. All right, we record that right here, and we total that over here. Then we've got now, since 2020, our 10X registration database, the iPad systems. It tells us how many voters were processed.
So you can compare against the.
Okay. So we've got three different ways on this accounting certificate and these numbers are supposed to match the number of ballots used, the number of 10X who was processed, and how many ballots were counted by the ballot counter. So there's three separate ways. None of this is connected to each other, involves different people, but it all comes together.
Cross-referenced.
On this sheet.
All right.
And it matches.
We're good in the news. Come right back. Judge John Davis, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1223, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We're glad to have you all along. Our guest in studio, Judge of Probate Don Davis, Mobile County Chief Election Officer. Looking at the text line here, too. Tusker says, I trust Judge Davis. I'm a poll worker. This is one of your poll workers here, and we are secure in our elections in Mobile County. David says on the text line, let Judge Davis know he's done a great job managing our voting process in Mobile County. It's fast, easy, and secure. We appreciate his hard work and integrity.
Thank you.
And, yeah, there's people
it's
just commenting.
It's not just Don Davis either. There are a lot of folks involved. I'm not the only elected official. That's another security measure in all of this.
Yeah, and I mean, like Billy says, I love this. It makes me feel good about that. Feel good about our system. Thank you. And I think that's what's good about having you on to talk about it, because if we don't talk to you directly, we go, well, what if?
I understand.
You know, and, you know, my cousin said such and such, and, you know,
lot of misinformation out there. And, again, I don't know what's going on in other parts of the country. I can only address what's going on here in Mobile.
Because people are asking,
to a certain extent, because we have the same laws and same equipment statewide, what my views would apply to other counties as well. But I don't even try to think about other states and what they're doing. I see the national news. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about what I hear. Don't get me wrong, but I'm focused on Mobile County. That's my focal point.
You were showing me during the break too. I'm looking at stacks of like what we see when we go in and get our ballot. I've noticed that in the past. They're the dotting. I don't know what you call it around the perimeter of the ballot. You said that is also
that's computer language.
Computer language.
Printed computer language.
Okay.
And that is what enables these lines, these dots and lines here.
Y'all
on the
picture
sides.
What I'm talking about. And you knew what I'm talking about. They're all on the edge, kind of like framing the ballot.
Right. They've got to match what the programming is for that particular ballot counter at that particular election poll, or the ballot counter will not read it. It will reject the ballot. Now, in 2022, in two counties, Baldwin County and Lee County, there were two different citizens, as I understand it, that made photocopies of absentee ballots for their respective counties. They went to the public testing that the probate judges in those two counties were conducting prior to an election. And those photocopies of absentee ballots were processed by the ballot counters at those two test sites. Since then, the programming has changed so that, and this is a statewide application, not just Mobile County, but statewide, that no absentee ballot can be read by the ballot counter of the corresponding, by any ballot counter. Certainly the ballot counters in the corresponding poll where that voter lived, which was they get an absentee ballot. And it all has to do with the computer
meaning that the computer doesn't read the absentee.
Not
the person does.
It's all been rejected. It's now programmed to reject altogether. So if I were to go to...
And get you close to that mic there.
All right. This is our Savior Catholic Church, which is one of our larger polls in West Mobile. I've got here the official ballot and an absentee ballot for that poll. If I went to that poll on election day and took my absentee ballot and tried to insert it, the ballot counter is not going to read it. Because of the computer language.
Okay.
That's right.
That ballot's, it's going to see it, even though it may even look...
It may look identical, but it's not... Now,
the machine goes, no, this is absentee.
Now, let me say this. In addition to what I just shared about the computer language, in Mobile County, we took it one step further. I wanted had to get a special approval from the Secretary of State's office, but we now have a color code on our ballots. So, like, this is an absentee ballot. You see it's got a green here.
Mm-hmm.
That's to signify visually that's an absentee ballot.
Okay.
Here it is. The official ballot doesn't have a color code there.
Okay.
Now, We also have provisional ballots at our polls.
If you've talked about that with me before. Somebody goes in, how does that work?
If there's some issue, question about their eligibility to vote, then at the poll they're at, then they're we process them as a provisional voter. And then at the week after the election, the Board of Registrars assesses and investigates the matter and reports back to the canvassing board the week after the election whether or not that ballot should be counted or not. But so here's the provisional ballot for that same precinct. It's got red here.
Okay, again, the other one had green. The provisional has red.
We went this extra step in Mobile County, again, to have a visual alert to our poll workers. Hey, that's not the ballot. That's not a regular ballot.
So they can catch it, let alone that the computer, like you said.
Right. The computer's going to catch it, but this is also a visual alert to the poll workers.
All right. So you have multiple layers of preventing that from happening.
Trying to, yes, sir.
I tell you what, can you hang on with me?
Sure.
Okay, so we'll go to the news here and come back because I got some questions. I've got questions. I know there's some coming in on the text line at 343-0106. Our guest, Judge John Davis, probate judge and head of elections for Mobile County. I will not ask any more questions how we get turnout any higher than 20%. That's not his problem. But we will talk about any questions you have and those things that you have texted him before or called him before about how this works and why I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I have a guy who does sitting right here in the studio. So we'll get those questions answered when we come back. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call or a text, and also a reminder too. You get the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can always use that talkback feature. It's the microphone icon on the front page of the app. If you press that, it lets you record a message and sends it right here to the show, and I can play it back here on air. Our guest this hour, Judge of Probate, Mobile County, Judge Don Davis, talking about election integrity from the electronic side to the human side and everything in between, because it is. It's this interface between people and machines. If you didn't catch the beginning of the show, go back on the podcast form, because Judge Davis explains, I'll just bring it back, the machines are not connected. There's no modem, no connection to the internet.
Right.
To the point that I appreciate this, because Judge speaks my language. He went in and took the tops off them.
And looked myself.
And looked inside the machine.
Right.
Okay. That's what I need, because right. I mean, because people will challenge me, and I'm like, I don't know, I've never looked in one.
So. I know that well. Again, we operate under the theory of trust but verify.
Yeah, I want to talk about the human side of this as well. Okay. We talked about ballot integrity as well, and how steps that have been made to make sure that somebody tries to put an absentee ballot in the regular machine, the key doesn't fit. It doesn't
right.
It won't read it. Now, what about voter integrity? You hear that there are people voting who are not supposed to be voting.
Well. There, the key thing, the biggest problem is voters not updating their voter registration and going to the correct election poll to vote in many instances. It's the last thing on most people's minds
That's
when
right.
they relocate. And I understand that. But the law, both federal law and state law, is that voters are supposed to vote at the election poll of the precinct in which they live on the day of the election, okay, where they're domiciled at the Now, domicile's where your permanent residence is.
Yeah.
Everybody has one domicile. You can have a home in Mobile County and have a beach home over in Gulf Shores, for example, typically where you're claiming your homestead exemption.
That's right. Yeah, that's the one.
That's going to be your domicile, even though you do have a beach home over in Baldwin County.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things we deal with in Mobile County is people that live in the county will also have property down Dauphin Island. They switched their voter registration back and forth between the island and the mainland because they want to participate in the island elections.
Gotcha.
And there's nothing we can do to stop that. The voter is the one declaring where their residency is.
How often can you do that? Is there a...
There's no limit.
Okay. So, I mean, you can... Okay. I never even thought about that. So you could switch it.
And you're up here trying to vote on the mainland, right, but your registration on the island, you know.
Okay.
You'd have to vote a provisional ballot if you're trying to vote at your mainland location.
Okay.
And get all that squared away. But these are safeguards that are in place. But the bottom line is we want voters, and voters are supposed to vote, citizens are supposed to vote at the poll of the precinct in which they currently live. And if you think about it, so many of our government positions now are districted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could vote anywhere willy-nilly in the county, you could affect the outcome of an election.
Sure.
And that's not
right. You could load up one area.
There was just in Auburn, Lee County, in 2022, we had an incumbent senator that lost by one vote.
Truly one vote. Yeah, it made
news.
Truly
one vote. One vote.
I know you say every vote matters, but I mean, in that case, it was very specific. One.
Right. In Citronelle, back in 2002 or 2004, I think it was 2002, I was brand new as a judge. The mayor of Citronelle won by one vote. That's here in Mobile County.
We hear people say that's a tight race. That's a tight race.
That is a tight race.
So,
Stanley Herring was his name. He's now departed, deceased.
So, I mean, there's this part of it where it's just logistics of making sure people, maybe that's not even nefarious, just making sure they're voting in the right place.
In many instances, they're not doing it purposefully.
Right.
They just don't know what to do, even though in Mobile County, we send postcards out.
And I guess I didn't realize.
Most of our voters got two postcards.
Yeah, and I didn't realize they didn't do it in Baldwin County.
No. We're the only county I know of in the state that does the courtesy postcards.
So let me apologize to Baldwin County listeners, the legions of y'all. When I go, didn't you get the card in the mail? It's because I've always been a Mobile County guy, so thank you, Judge, because I apologize to people in Baldwin County where I go, didn't you get the card? And that's just Mobile County people. That's why I always keep going back to it. I said, y'all check these cards with the redistricting and all that.
Well, now let me say this. Mobile County has a tradition of sending out the courtesy card, as we've just alluded to. Anytime statewide a voter has a change in a district, or a change in a voting location, the Board of Registrars of that county is supposed to send
a card.
So that's
why we got the multiples. Okay.
And Mobile County, we had two cards. Most of our citizens got two cards because all the changes.
Hey, y'all are in AL2 now, a lot of you. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. That explains why we got the multiple.
Right. Now, but we have a procedure in place in Mobile County, and there is legislation pending to make Mobile County's procedure a statewide procedure to try to redirect voters to the correct poll to vote if they're at the wrong poll to vote.
Okay, so I show up where I think I'm supposed to vote. I come in there and I say, hey, it's Sean Sullivan, show my ID or whatever, and they'll say, you're not supposed to be voting here.
Well,
where am I supposed to vote?
Well, they will help relocate you to the correct. They'll plug in the address in the iPad that has the database, and it has a feature where we can do an address lookup. And you tell us what address you live at.
Okay.
And we can tell you what poll is associated with that precinct and give you directions to go there. Now, and part of this procedure in Mobile County is, there are many different acceptable forms of photo ID that will work for voting purposes. And the ID does not have to have an address on it. And if an address is not on the ID, our poll workers don't ask you what address you live at.
Right.
But if your address is on your ID, then they're going to compare it to what's in the database.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's different, then the citizen's going to be referred to the leader of the poll, one of the leaders of the poll, for them to verify where you live and make certain that you're at the right place to vote.
But it's by the name, though, because if I came in to polling place A with my ID, let's say I have this ID that doesn't have an address on it, whatever it is. And you go, okay, Sean Sullivan, we got you on the. And what if I take that ID to another polling place?
Well, the 10X, you're not going to be able to vote twice in Mobile County because the 10X system.
Once I've voted on that 10X system.
Yeah, it's documented and it's in the system state countywide.
Okay, but it's not connected? But how does it do that?
There's Wi-Fi connectivity between the court and the 10X units at all the poles.
Okay.
But it's not internet connectivity.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we, it will not, once you vote at a place, it's not going to let you, if you could,
I can't
go to
vote
the second
again.
Poll.
Yeah. It pings going, you and says, no, that
right.
guy already
you
voted.
You would have to vote provisional.
Okay. And then when you go in the week after and look at the provisionals, you say, yeah, you know what, that sucker just already.
Right. And then the Board of Registrars tells us don't count that ballot.
By the way, too, so many texts coming in. This one, too, if you want to, Sasha said, if folks want to know about our elections, I urge folks to be poll workers just once, too.
I'd love to have it. We need poll workers. We lost a lot of poll workers through as a result of the pandemic. And we've had vacancies.
Didn't lose them, or they just don't want to come?
They don't want to serve now.
Okay. All right. I was like, my gosh.
No. You got to keep him. We need poll workers. And
and what about that?
Most of our poll workers, God bless them, mm-hmm. are between the ages of 65, 70 on the young end mm-hmm. and upwards to 80 in age. But they're very dedicated, and they believe in elections, and they're willing to do their community service. Now, they get paid.
Right.
They don't do it for free. But the pay is, quite frankly, nominal to the responsibility associated with it, in my personal view.
We were trying to think this up. Maybe it was on primary day or the Monday before. Listen to your request for these people. And I said, how do we younger people? I forget, y'all, what did we come up with? We had some kind of way to incentivize younger people. Maybe sometimes things on the show get frivolous. Maybe it was frivolous, but we said, how do you market to a younger person to get them to come? Because they got to be at work, they got to be at school. How do you?
It's not easy. If you come up
how
with
how do you
an
make
idea,
it sexy, Judge?
Please
you...
let me know. We do have a need even now as we're looking ahead for the we had vacancies in the primary election we just conducted, and we had some polls where we had too many people that were wanting to serve, but their poll was filled. And what we wound up doing in an emergency basis, state law gives the election official appointment board the ability to appoint outside a precinct, but that's not the norm. The norm is poll workers supposed to live in the precinct
where they're working,
and that's
right.
a security measure.
Sure. And I like the idea that you have people watching the thing that's most important to them, their right. poll location, and the fact that, you know, that there are people there watching from Republicans, from Democrats, from other parties, watching each other. I want more of that. I mean, I think that's good.
Well, it depends on the election. It depends on the candidate and the political party in terms of how many watchers are present in
right.
Mobile County.
Right.
Now, you know, some other security measures relative to election officials. One of the, in the early 2000s, shortly after I became the probate judge, you know, and I came in the 2000 general election, the Bush v. Gore
okay.
was the national election
oh, there you go.
Involved there.
You want this job?
And
here you
that,
go.
That prompted the Help America Vote Act of 2002 at the federal level, and then all the states had to adopt their own HAVA acts. To be in conformity compliance with the federal law. And Alabama did that in 2003. What came out of that were best practices. And one of the best practices was you not have more than two members of the same family working as poll workers in a poll at
okay.
the same time.
All right.
One. And two, you could only have one member of a family. If you have more than one, if you have two people working as poll workers in the same family, only one of them can be in a leadership role.
Okay.
And there's some other best practices such as that, but in different aspects of poll management and administration. But we adopted those in Mobile County as soon as they came out.
So 20-some-odd years ago. This
right.
Has been, okay.
Right. Now, there was another practical reason I did it.
Okay.
It came. The timing, they were right on top of each other. We had, again, in one of the first elections I conducted, I think it was probably this Mobile County Special School Board election, because that was really the first election I conducted, like in 2001, 2002. On the night before the election, we had an inspector, the person in charge of the poll, to have a stroke or heart attack and was in the hospital.
Gosh.
And his wife was the chief clerk, and she's calling us the morning of the election saying, he's in the hospital, and I'm at the hospital with him. And we were in a panic. Yeah. I had to dispatch court staff to oversee the manage that poll that particular day in that instance. And I told myself then, never again.
Right.
But also that ties into the best practices as well.
So there's
more than one good reason to do that.
Right. So, I mean, we have the integrity of the voters, but we also, like you're saying, the election official, the poll worker integrity, what you do to make sure that's there.
Right.
All right.
And they're trained.
Right. Yeah. But how long is that training process on?
There is two parts to it in Mobile County. There's a part that's online that they must complete about some of the basic skills and whatnot. And then we have an in-person training where we actually offer them a hands-on tutorial of all three items of equipment that we use in the election poll. So the online part's probably about an hour to 90 minutes, and then probably about the same amount of time for the in-person training.
It would be a good thing to have people, once they get qualified, to stick around a while, too, right?
And a lot of our poll workers
you get them trained up, yeah.
But we still train them before every election.
Okay. All right, coming back, more with Judge Davis right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And by the way, I appreciate that. Rick on the text line as well said, we humbly accept your apology. That's Rick, the Baldwin County quota here, so thank you. So I've apologized to Baldwin County when I got on y'all for not having, like, just look at your cards. I didn't realize till Judge Davis told me that wasn't a Baldwin County thing. I'm a Mobile County guy. I'm sorry. So my apologies and thank you, Rick, for accepting for the entirety of Baldwin County for me. Mobile County Probate Judge Don Davis, our guest here. Let's talk about about these post-election audit, pushing this as legislation. What is this?
All right. So there's legislation pending right now. It's been proffered by Representative Deborah Wood, who's over in the Chambers, Lee, Russell County area, over on the eastern side
East
of
Central.
The state.
Okay.
That would provide for a post-election audit of statewide of all precinct or all counties. And initially, the legislation provided it would have to be a hand count. It's now morphed to where it could either be done manually by hand count or through use of a ballot counter that was not used in the election that's being audited.
But there's specific precincts or the entirety of all precincts for an election?
No, you would pick – the proposed legislation provides for that the county's canvassing board – which is the sheriff, the circuit court clerk, and the judge of probate, the board, that committee, would randomly choose a precinct and then audit a race on that was conducted at that precinct. And you'd either do it manually by hand count or using a ballot counter that was not used in the election. That's the current language in this bill. It's still in committee right now. The difficulty with a hand count, I'll just give you a true life story here in Mobile County. You know, we have fire district elections every year, and out in West Mobile County, I won't identify the specific fire district.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, we had two people running for one fire district trustee position. A total of 218 people voted. It took over an hour and a half for the poll workers to hand count those ballots. They kept making it's at the end of the night.
Yeah.
They'd been there all day. They were tired. I was calling out the ballots, and they were marking down the, you know, one, mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4 tally, 1, 2,
right.
3, 4 tally, like that. And one of them would lose their attention.
Oh, gosh, you got to start
it. And then it started all over. And it took us an hour and a half, right at an hour and a half, to do it.
So that's for
218 ballots. Can you imagine what it would be if we're talking thousands of ballots at a poll? So Thankfully, the most current version of this legislation provides that a ballot counter could be utilized, provided it was not used in the election that's being audited. But there's a lot of incorrect information floating out there about this whole concept. Again, I subscribe to the theory of trust but verify.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. But if we're going to do a post-election audit, I advocate that it needs to be reasonable and cost-wise, time-wise, and something we can will truly be meaningful and we can accomplish in short order. And there are great concerns on the part of not only myself but probate judges all around the state about this legislation. There's been no demonstrated need to have a post-election audit in Mobile in Alabama, period.
Solution looking for a problem?
That's one way to look at it, yes. There's been no problems with our equipment. Another misnomer is that it was stated at the committee meeting in the House that the equipment was 20 years old. No county has ballot counters that are 20 years old.
Okay.
They came into use in 2014.
Okay, so
and
10 years
Mobile
old.
Mobile County, we switched over to them in 2020.
Okay, so they're 4 years old here.
Here, but they're updated every year as technology and whatnot improves.
Right.
So they're kept and maintained. And so to say that our ballot counters are 20 years old
is inaccurate.
The state is not accurate. The supposed purpose of this legislation is to ensure the voting machines are tabulating correctly. Well, we already do that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Before
you said
an
you
election.
Tested, yeah.
It takes us in a county the size of Mobile County a day, sometimes a day and a half, for us to actually test every machine to make certain they're working properly. But we do it. That's part of our job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all the counties do that. So we're already doing that. Then there's the expense part of it. The fiscal note that was read at the committee meeting earlier this week was that it would be $35,000 total statewide expense. That is accurate whatsoever.
Because you told me it could be per poll, it could be thousands.
So I had my staff. We looked at what the basics, if we did a machine post-election audit, and we had small polls, medium-sized poll, and large polls. If we're using a small poll that only has 532 voters and an 80% turnout, 426 voters, the expense would be $13,687.
Well, that seems to fly in the face of them saying $35,000 for the state.
Right. If we use a large poll like the Abba Temple poll in West Mobile that's got 9,553 voters, 80% turnout, the estimated expense is $14,196.80. That's just for Mobile County alone.
Wow. I'm up at the end of the hour here.
So there's a lot of misinformation out there about this post-election audit
situation. All right. Well, I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. If people have more questions, they can contact you.
Well, they need to contact their legislators.
Yeah. Sometime between now and end of session, y'all.
Maybe in the next 2 weeks.
There you go. There you go. You have it. And if you need more information, we'll pass along here on the text line or email. Judge, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for letting me be here.